It is good, as always, to see each of you here today. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you've come our way. Hope that we'll get to see you again. And want you to know how much we appreciate your presence among us. I wish that those of us who are making deliveries could take each one of you with us. Just to see and to be in the homes of some of the folks that we deliver to. On Friday, we had a couple of deliveries that we made. One was some bedding and some chest of drawers and a range. I've never seen a lady's face light up as much as this particular woman was when we rolled into her house that brand new range and put it. She was so tickled. Happy to have that range so that she could now cook meals on it. And then the very next delivery, we took some bedding and some other things, but we also had something else. It was a new skillet, cast iron lodge skillet. You would have think we had just given her the moon. She took that skillet, she held it, she hugged it. She was so excited to have her skillet. She said, now I can cook some good things. We get to encounter that a lot. And it's a joy. You have those that at the end of the day, Kyle and I will talk, and some of the others that we're making that are helping us with the deliveries, and it always seems that God puts some of the best ones right at the end of the day. Because we go out and we're finishing up the day, and just something happens that says, boy, I'm glad we're doing this. I'm very grateful to be doing this. And then people over here, if you could just sit and eat with some of them, talk with them, visit with them. You'll find out, you'll hear their stories, but you'll also hear something else, and I've heard it more than I can count, words of appreciation. Matter of fact, the lady that we gave the skillet to, we had prayer with her, and we had a group of quite a few young people from Centerville, Beta Club, had come over to help us on Friday, and she made the statement, she said, you all have 10,000 angels surrounding you. And I thought about a song. I don't know if Ray taught us this or where we've learned it. We've sung it here. Talking about standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. And God is at work continually in this community, letting His light shine. We're grateful for that. So I want to ask you a question. In your life recently, have your thoughts been occupied with God? Let me say that again. Have you been occupied with God lately? In a commentary I was looking at on this psalm that was read for you just a moment ago by Pott, Psalm 103, the author of that commentary, Stephen Lawson, tells the story of a missionary who went to the Amazon jungle down in South America. And through an interpreter, he spoke with a Brazilian Indian who had recently become a convert to Christianity. He did not know that. And so he had the interpreter ask him a question. And the question that he had the interpreter ask him is, what is it that you best like to do? He thought that this man would respond with shooting bows and arrows, paddling in my canoe, something along that line. Instead, the Indian's response to him, the Brazilian's response to him, was that he most enjoyed being occupied with God. The missionary thought he had misunderstood. Maybe there was a breakdown in communication and translation. So he had the interpreter repeat the question, and again the answer was the same, that his greatest joy was being occupied with God. How many of us have been occupied lately with the greatness of God in our lives? How many of us have spent at least a portion of our days adoring God, thanking Him for all that He is and for all that He has done, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those that we see around us here in our community? It's kind of hard not to do that. As you know, this coming Thursday, November the 25th, which is the fourth Thursday in the month, is Thanksgiving Day. Since the birth of our nation, 31 of our 46 presidents have issued Thanksgiving proclamations. But you know something, you and I don't need a Thanksgiving proclamation or a certain day out of the year set aside for us to give thanks to God. No, we have the privilege to do that every single day that we live. And especially to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and to commune as one in the presence of our Lord and to thank Him for all that He's done and for all that He continues to do. This morning, what I hope to do is to look a little bit at that passage that was read for us, but spend all of our time primarily in the Psalms. And I want to try to inspire you, encourage you, exhort you, whatever the word may be that you choose to use, to have an attitude of thanksgiving so that you might thank God on a regular basis for what David refers to there in Psalm 103 as all God's benefits, because He gives us much to be grateful for. But in order to accomplish this, I think there are three questions that we're going to look at this morning in our lesson. And the first one is this: why should I be thankful? Why should I thank God? Number two, how can I give thanks? And number three, where do I give thanks? So let's look at the first one. Why should I thank God? And the first thing I want to say to you is the reason that we should thank God is because God is good. That was early prayer. I've shared this with you before, that I learned as a child growing up. God is good. That is one of the things that was drilled into me. But let me share a couple of Psalms with you, Psalm 106 and Psalm 107. Psalm 106 verse 1 begins with these words: praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Stop there. If you go to Psalm 107 verse 1, almost the same thing: O give thanks to the Lord, why? For He is good. Well, if you go and you read Psalm 106, what you find is that the psalmist is telling or giving us a list of all of Israel's sins, both during the time of their wilderness wandering and then later as they come into the promised land. But then at the very end of that psalm, he acknowledges, as he began at the, he does at the beginning, that God is good. And at the end of the psalm, he adds this down in verse 48. He says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. You've just given us a list of all of the sins of your people, and yet you say God is good, and for this reason we should praise Him. Yes, that's what He's done. Psalm 107. If you look at that psalm, it speaks similar thing. It speaks of the troubles from which God has delivered His people. And it ends with a question and then a declaration. There in verse 43, the question is, who is wise? The answer that the psalmist gives is this: let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. In other words, if you're a wise person, you're going to stop and you're going to look at all that God has done, and then you're going to give thanks to Him for His loving kindness. Larry loves to lead us in a song oftentimes. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. So why thank God? Why should we be thankful? Because God is just that. He is so good. But there's something else that the psalmist tell us, and that is that we thank God because He is near. His name is near, as Psalm 75 tells us. There in Psalm 75, verse 1, the psalmist says, we give thanks to You, O Lord, or O God. We give thanks for Your name is near. To say that God's name is near is the same thing as saying that God is near. And there are two other psalms within the psalms, both written by David, in which David speaks about the nearness of God. One of those is found in Psalm 34. Down in verse 18, here's what David says. He says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Well, if you go almost to the other end of the Psalms, Psalm 145, verse 18, here's what you find. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Let me ask you a question. Are you a person here today who would describe yourself as right now being broken in heart? Are you a person who would say that the experiences that I've gone through over the last 3 months have crushed my spirit? We have people like that in our community. If you haven't met them, you haven't been very far, because they're there and you see them every day. They're broken. They're crushed in spirit. And yet what God says and what God wants us to know and what I want you to hear from this passage, if nothing else, is that what God says to us through the psalmist is He's near. He is near to you, and He will respond to you when you call upon Him according to His truth. So if you're crushed in spirit, if you're brokenhearted right now, if you don't do it here with us, do it when you get home, but call upon Him. Ask Him to hear you, to respond to your needs. Another reason that we should give thanks to God is because His loving kindness is everlasting. I want to take you to Psalm 136. Four verses in that psalm. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 26. And what you find as you look at that psalm, it keeps repeating the same theme throughout it. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Well, we've already seen that, but then it adds at the end of verse 1, His loving kindness is everlasting. Well, then when you go to verse 2, it says there, give thanks to the God of gods. In other words, the God who is above all gods. Why? His loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords, the Lord who is above all lords. Why? His loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. In other words, the God who is over all. Why? His loving kindness is everlasting. But what is God's loving kindness? It comes from a word in the Hebrew that's very rich in meaning. As a matter of fact, depending on the translation you're reading from this morning, you're probably seeing something else. If you're reading from the King James or the New King James, it's His mercy that is everlasting. If you're reading from the English Standard Version, it says it's His steadfast love that is everlasting. If you're reading from the New American Standard, it's His loving kindness. If you're reading from the NIV, or what's called the Christian Standard Bible, it says that His love is everlasting. All of these are describing this one word out of the Hebrew. But the point that the psalmist wants to make with us, the one that he does not want us to miss, is what he puts at the end. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's ongoing. David, in Psalm 103, in what was just read for us a moment ago, speaks of God's benefits, His benefits. And in those benefits, we see that love that plays out in our lives. If you begin in verse 3 and just kind of read through the verses that were read for you just a moment ago, here's what David sums up as the benefits that God brings into our lives. What is it? He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. Why should you and I give thanks to God? Because His love knows no end. God is love. That's His nature. And that love has given and given and given. It's the God that we serve, the God who gives us strength, the God who sees us through. One more thing. Why should we thank God? Why should we be thankful? Psalm 75, verse 1. There the psalmist says this, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your name is near. We've looked at that. But look at the last part of that first verse. Men declare your wondrous works. We give thanks to God because all of the wondrous things that He does. I want to refer you to three psalms, again, each by David. Psalm 19, verse 1. There in the very beginning of that psalm, and you know this part, he says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. In other words, David says, go outside, look up in the sky, examine everything that you can see beyond what exists on this planet. And what you're looking at are the works of God's hands, the wondrous works of God's hands. But he doesn't stop there. David goes to another psalm, and I won't take you there. Psalm 139 that Larry just led in a psalm. Part of that is in a song that we just sang. But I want to take you down to a little bit further down in that psalm, verse 14. Here's what David says on this occasion. He says, I will give thanks to you. Why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. David says, I can look at my own self, what you've created, and I know that your works are wonderful. I'm reminded of it on a daily basis. You are one of the wonderful works of God. One more psalm by David. Psalm 40, verse 5. David says there, and I love what he says here. He says, many, O Lord our God, are the wonders which you have done. And your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare to them. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to mention, or to count, excuse me. Think of that. More than we can count. You and I, as I've said, are God's wondrous works. And yet, when we try to thank Him for all that we've done and all that He's done in our lives, we can just continue going on and on. Over 120 years ago, there was a hymn that was written by a man named Johnson Oatman Jr. And he says something about this. And what he said all those years ago is just as true today as it was then. Listen to what he says. When upon life's billows your tempest is tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Have you stopped to do that? Have you stopped just to count your blessings? Folks, we have been blessed beyond measure. God has opened the storehouse of heaven and just poured it out so that we are able to do what we've been able to do through His blessing. He has watched over us. He's kept us. He's sustained us. He's given us strength for our day, courage for everything we will encounter, wisdom that we need. Oh, where do we stop? We can't. We just keep going. This is the God that we serve. And why be thankful? Because of all of this. But the second question is, how do I go about giving thanks? How do I thank God? One of the ways is through the praises that we sing. We praise Him in our song. In Psalm 18, that entire psalm, David is speaking about God's deliverance of him from his enemies and also from Saul, who was king at that time. And as David concludes the psalm, he writes these words down in verse 49. He says, therefore, I give thanks to you among the nations. O Lord, I will sing praises to your name. In Psalm 30, verse 4, it's another psalm that David wrote. And there he instructs us with these words. He says, sing praise to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name. You and I are His godly ones. And David is saying, you sing praise to the Lord, you His godly ones. It's only fitting that we should give thanks to His holy name. I said I'm going to spend most of my time in the Psalms, but I want to draw your minds for just a moment to the New Testament, there in Hebrews chapter 13, down in verse 15. Writing to the church, the writer says this to Hebrew Christians. He says, through Him, that is through Christ. He says, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips which gives thanks to His name. Do you know that when we sing praise to God, that we're offering up a sacrifice of praise to His name? the fruit of our lips, our singing, the words that we speak to God are our way of saying thank you for all that you've done. Consider for just a moment two hymns, and we could go on and on. We could just walk through the hymn book and see these things, but two that I want to draw your mind to. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. And another one, I think Ray is the one that taught us this. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. That's what we do. We sing praises to our God. How do I give thanks? We do it through our prayers. Not just through our song, but through our prayers as well. I've used this passage already in previous sermons in the last few weeks, but I want to draw your mind to it again because it is such a beautiful thing. Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 6, Paul begins by saying, be anxious for nothing. But then he adds this, in prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Folks, thanksgiving is an attitude of our heart that should always accompany our prayers. So the next time you pray, whether you pray as a family in your home or maybe out at a restaurant having a meal, or whether you're praying in the privacy of your own personal devotional, stop and thank God. Just begin by thanking Him. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to tell you, I've started doing that, and I keep thinking of more people to thank God for and asking Him to bless. Thanking Him for everything He provides. Thanking Him for watching over us. Thanking Him for keeping us in His care. Just so many things to be thankful for. I promise you, it will change your perspective if you'll include more of thanksgiving in your prayers for what God is doing in your life. So we thank Him through our prayers, but we thank Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Psalm 9, verse 1, David said, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. And then the psalm that was read for us just a moment ago, Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that is within me bless His holy name. Thank God. Thank Him for what He's doing. David says, with all your heart. Bless His holy name with everything that is within you. Everything that is within you. You know, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, does it not make sense that we would also thank Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and bless His holy name? Is that the way that we thank God? I hope so. Because God is so good. But the last question I said I want to touch is this. Where do I give thanks? Scripture speaks about some places. One is in the congregation, in this assembly of God's people. In Psalm 35, verse 18, David said, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throng. Each time you and I gather together as a body of Christ, we have the opportunity to sing, as I've said, our praises to God for what He's done. Folks, don't ever say, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Don't ever say, my voice is not that good. God made your voice. God gave you the ability. Even if you don't think it's that good, He says it is. Use it to praise Him. Sing like you've never sung before. And say thank you thank you in the midst of this congregation as we sing, because He gives you that ability. Each time we sing those songs, let God know just how grateful you are. Don't stay silent. It's your way to say thank you, O Lord, for loving me. Thank you for blessing me. But we also do it not in our public opportunities that we have to be together, but we do it in the privacy of our own prayers. As I mentioned a while ago, Philippians 4, verse 6, when we pray, our supplication, our prayers with thanksgiving, we thank God publicly, but we also get the opportunity to thank Him privately. You don't have to pray or sing words of thanksgiving only in this congregation. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. And you know what's so good about that? When you pray to God, you have an audience of one who is listening to every word you say. He doesn't miss a thing that you say. He's hearing you. Sometimes other people don't listen to us, do they? Or they don't catch everything that we say. But God does. Because with God, you have His rapt attention when you're praying to Him and asking to be heard, especially when you thank Him. And the last thing in that is this, Psalm 79, verse 13. Where do I give thanks? Psalmist says, to all generations. Listen to what he says. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell of your praise. This psalm, if you look in your Bibles, the heading, credits it to Asaph, who is one of the descendants of Levi. And it's the last little bit in that verse I want you to notice. To all generations we will tell of your praise. Let me ask you a question. Folks, how will our children and our grandchildren come to appreciate the need to thank God if we don't teach them? Because no one else is going to teach them that. If we don't teach our children to thank God, where are they going to learn it from? When they see us in our prayers at the table or with our children before they pillow their heads at night or in the morning when they first rise up, if they see and hear us thanking God, they're going to learn to do it themselves. Because they're going to see mom and dad or papa and nana or granddaddy and grandmama or whatever names they may call you by, they're going to see you doing it as well. But if they don't see you or hear you doing it, will they learn to do it? Will they learn to be appreciative? No. Because Satan's going to make sure that the world doesn't teach them that. It's only going to come from you. As we conclude this morning, there's one final question I want to leave you with. How long should I give thanks? How long? David answers that question, I believe, in another psalm, Psalm 52. There in Psalm 52, in verses 8 and 9, here's what he says. He says, but as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it. I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. Let me ask you, are you a person today who is flourishing in God's presence? Are you an individual whose trust is firmly planted in God's loving kindness? If so, then like David, I believe that you're going to want to give thanks to Him forever. To the point that you draw your last breath upon this planet and even beyond into the days or when time is no more, when we're with Him eternally. You'll want to wait on Him and His eternal promise to you forever. But having said that, I know that there may be some of you for whom this is not true. I don't feel like I'm flourishing in God's presence. I don't see myself as a person who's truly trusting in the loving kindness of God. You can change that. You can become a person who grows closer to God with each passing day. You can become a person whose love that God has for you is seen on a regular basis. What God calls you to do is to put aside everything that prevents you from coming to Him and following Him and obeying Him, and to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can confess those things and then make the decision, having turned away from your sin and confessing His name, to be buried with Him in baptism, so Christ, through His blood, can wash away the sin that separates you from God. Is that something you need to do today? Or maybe you're just a person who's a Christian that's struggling right now and you need our prayers. If that's true for you, if you need to respond to God's invitation, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing.